Mintaka sat with her slave girls in the crowded little cabin, and waited to learn what was to be her fate when the new pharaoh returned on board. Her girls were terrified and as confused as she was. However, she tried to comfort them. When they'd calmed a little, she started them playing their favourite games. These soon palled, so she called for a lute. Her own had been lost on her father's barge, but they borrowed one from a guard. Mintaka held a competition, making each girl dance in turn in the confined space of the little cabin. They were laughing and clapping when they heard the new pharaoh returning on board. The girls fell silent, but she urged them to continue, and soon they were as rowdy as before. Mintaka did not join in the merriment. Previously, she had carefully explored her surroundings. Attached to her main cabin was a much smaller one, little more than a cupboard, which served as a latrine. It contained a large pottery toilet bowl with a lid, and beside it a pitcher of water for washing. The bulkhead dividing it from the next cabin was thin and flimsy. The boatbuilders had been concerned to save weight. Mintaka had been on board this galley in happier times, when she and her father had been guests of Lord Trock. She knew that the main cabin lay on the other side of this bulkhead. Mintaka slipped into the latrine. Even above the noise her girls were making, she heard men's voices from beyond the partition. She recognized Naja's clear, commanding tones and Trock's gruff replies. Carefully she laid her ear against the planking of the bulkhead, and immediately the voices were clearer, the words intelligible. Naja was dismissing the guards who had accompanied them on board. She heard them stump away, and then there was a long silence. So long that she thought Naja might be alone in the saloon. She heard the gurgle of wine being poured into a drinking bowl, and Naja's voice, heavy with sarcasm. "Your Majesty, have you not over-refreshed yourself already?" Then Trock's unmistakable laugh. And Mintaka could hear from the impediment in his speech that he was indeed already in his cups, as he replied to Naja's jibe, "Come, cousin, be not so severe. Take a bowl with me. Let me drink to the successful outcome of all our endeavours. Drink to the crown on my head, and the one that'll soon bless yours." Naja's tone mellowed a little. "A year ago, when we first began to plan, it all seemed so impossible, so remote. Then we were disparaged and overlooked, as far from the throne as the moon is from the sun. And yet here we are, two pharaohs holding between us the whole of Egypt. And two pharaohs gone on ahead of us," Trock joined in. "To Moser with your arrow through his heart, and a papery, the big hog, fried in his own lard along with all his little piglets," he shouted with triumphant laughter. "Pray, not so loud. You're indiscreet, even if we are alone." Naja rebuked him gently. "It would be best if we never repeated those things. Let our little secrets go with Tamosa to his tomb in the Valley of the Kings, and with her Pepe to the bottom of the river." "Come," Trock insisted. "Drink with me to all we've achieved." "To what we have achieved," Naja agreed, "and to all that is to follow.
Today, Egypt, and tomorrow, the treasures and riches of Assyria, Babylon, and the rest of the world. Nothing can stand in our way."
Mintaka heard Trock gulp noisily. Then there was a crash against the bulkhead at the level of her ear. It startled her and she jumped back, then realized that Trock had hurled the empty wine bowl against the panel, smashing it to shards. He belched loudly and went on,
"Yet there's one detail that remains. Tamosa's puppy has your crown upon his head still."
As she listened, Mintaka was in a whirlpool of emotion that tugged her one way, then the other, and spun her until her senses reeled. She had listened in horror, as dispassionately they discussed the murders of her father, her brother, and Pharaoh Tamoza. But she was ill-prepared for what they had to say about Nefer.
"Not for much longer," Narja said. "That will be taken care of as soon as I return to Thebes. It is all arranged."
Mintaka clamped her hands across her mouth to prevent herself crying out. They were going to murder Nefer as coldly as they had all the others. Her heart seemed to shrivel within her, and she felt helpless. She was a prisoner and without friends. She tried to think of some way in which she could send a warning to Nefer, for only in that moment did she know the full extent of her love for him. She would do anything in her power to save him.
"'Tis a pity the lion did not do your work for you," said Trot, instead of only scratching him a little.
The beast set the stage nicely. Nefer needs just a little push, and I will give him a funeral even more splendid than I gave his father.
You always were a generous man,
Trot chuckled drunkenly.
While we speak of Tamoza's brat, let us also speak of what remains of our Pepe's brood, Narja suggested silkily. The little princess was meant to burn with the rest. Was that not what we agreed?
I decided to change that.
Trock's tone had become sulky. She heard him fill another wine bowl.
It is dangerous to leave any seed of a Pepe unreaped, Narja warned him. Mintaka might easily become a figurehead in the years to come. A rallying point for rebellion and insurrection. Get rid of her cousin, and that soon.
Why did you not do the same with Tamoza's girls? Why do they still live?
Trock challenged him defensively.
I married them, Narja pointed out. And Hisseret dotes on me already. She would do anything I ask her. We share the same ambitions. She is as hot to see her brother Nefer buried as I am. She lusts for the crown almost as much as for my royal scepter.
Once she's felt my honeybee in her pink little lotus flower, Mintaka will be the same,
Trock declared. Mintaka's flesh crawled. Once again she was thrown into the maelstrom. She was so appalled at the picture that Trock's boast conjured up, and she almost missed Narja's next remark.
"So she has you by the testicles, cousin," Narja said, but his tone was unamused. "She is too bold and unruly for my taste, but I wish you joy of her. Be careful of her, Trock. There's a wildness in her. She may take more managing than you think."
"I will marry her immediately and breed her as swiftly,"
Trock assured him.
With a bundle in her belly, she'll be more tractable. But for these many years past, she's lighted a fire in my loins. It cannot be extinguished except by her sweet young juices.
You should use your head more, cousin, and your prong less.
Narja's voice was resigned.
Let us hope that we do not live to regret this passion of yours.
Mintaka heard the deck creak under his feet as Narja stood up.
So then, may the gods love and protect you, cousin.
Narja took his leave.
We both have grave matters to attend. We must part on the morrow, but let us meet as already planned in Memphis at the end of the inundation of the Nile.